Welcome to Race Against the Machine, your irreverent source for discourse here. My name is Scott Woods, co-hosting here with my man Aaron No Name. Aaron, what is up? Yeah, it has been 9 months since we've posted a show. So welcome back, Aaron. How are you holding up in May of 2020?
I don't know.
This whole year has been a goddamn trip.
Yeah, it has, man.
And we are at the crest of the wave, so to speak. So
you hope.
I mean, it depends on which wave you ride, okay?
Yeah.
I almost don't know where to start. I guess that's kind of the problem with doing a show so far apart.
Yeah.
Is like everything in the world changes. The whole world changes
between
shows. And so it's like you could almost talk about anything. And you wouldn't be missing out on anything, right? How about we jump in how about a softball? Would you like a softball to kind of
let's do a softball.
Wheels going?
Yeah.
It's my first time seeing you in like 2 months.
I know.
At least.
I know. It's crazy.
It's horrible. And we live so close to each other and it's like we may as well be on the fucking moon.
True story.
So how about we start with a softball?
Okay.
You want to do Joe Biden?
Let's do Joe Biden.
Yeah, let's do Joe. Uncle Joe.
Yeah.
So Uncle Joe was on the Breakfast Club, which was the first mistake of everybody involved.
Yeah.
And true to form, Charlemagne the God went fishing and caught a big one. Caught Joe Biden at the end of the interview doing what Joe Biden does.
It's an easy catch.
It's so easy.
It's like fishing in one of them kiddie ponds where they stock.
Hey, you can fish everything with your hands.
Yes.
And Joe Biden put his foot in his mouth. And he's basically, sarcastically, I got to be honest, you know, it was a sarcastic line. It was kind of a throwaway.
Yeah.
But you really can't do that except when your vote is assured.
Yeah.
Which the black vote is. The black vote is Democratic. That's what it is. There's the 8% of black people who don't vote Democratic. I mean, I'm not going to say they're not black. I'm not going to pull a Biden, but no one's ever talking about those people.
Yeah.
They're not really swaying the needle on anything.
Or to them.
Right. Right. So, but, you know, people are up in arms about it and they're talking about it, kind of.
I mean, do you think it has any impact on turnout for the black vote? Or no, not even that.
Do I think that? No, I don't.
Okay.
I think anybody who's suggesting that they won't vote for Biden for that statement wasn't going to vote anyway.
They weren't going to vote anyway.
Yeah, that's my position.
I think that's pretty statistically safe.
Yeah, right. And I don't know if I would want to be on the record as somebody who is willing to not vote, right? You're willing to not vote.
Yeah.
But this is the hill that you die on. Out of all of the hills before this one, this is the one that you die on, right? Like, you could have just said the minute that there weren't any more black candidates, or the minute that they were like, Joe might have, like, done some shit to some women. You could have stepped out at that point anyway.
And yeah.
This is your thing? Nah, I think we kind of know where you were headed.
It's depressing on a lot of levels, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. So it bums me out. It just bums me out, all of it.
Okay, you're going to have to break that down.
So here's what bums me out, right? Like, we have a two-party system.
Yes.
We do.
We do.
And it bums me out how people let that pigeonhole them into everything else they do politically.
Elaborate.
So especially if you're black, right? If you're black in America, you don't have a political system.
Okay.
You have to understand that. We say, oh, yeah, it's a two-party system. It's a white two-party system.
Correct.
It's black people in America do not have a political system.
That's fair.
Okay. So immediately when you enter into that world, you're not entering into your world. So you've got to know that right off the bat. And so if you're going to say, oh, this old white dude got too comfortable and said some bullshit, I'm not participating in the system. You're already not participating in the motherfucking system. I got news for you, man. They ain't your friends. You know what I mean? And if you're holding out for somebody who is going to live up to some kind of ideal. And you're black in America. Your black president couldn't even do that.
Mm.
Your black president's out here calling these kids in Baltimore thugs.
Right.
Because the police are fucking with them and they responded. So you're not going to get that standard in this system.
Mm.
You're not going to get it. You're not going to get a leader in this system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's just, you just need to be looking for levers. What levers can we pull? Is anything else beyond that to improve black quality of life? It's our work. It's not our responsibility.
Right.
I mean, if you want to talk about who's to blame and who's at fault and who owes who what, we all know where that all lies. But if you want to talk about who's going to actually do the work,
right,
it's only us. No one else is going to do it. You're not going to be able to vote your way into that ever.
Mm. You know, and the thing is like, you hear people say how we need to demand things.
Yeah.
And the subtext there is that you will withhold your vote or use something else, do your, something else with your vote.
Yeah.
If you don't have your demands met. And that is ideally how this would work. Right. But that sounds like an awesome plan, except it's never going to happen either.
And this last election cycle has proven that it wouldn't work. Because someone in the white political structure would have to care if black people stayed home. And the whole, you know, white democratic liberal arm of American politics just had an election stolen from them because of the suppression of black votes. And they still refused to call attention.
They haven't done anything about it.
To the matter.
Right.
So clearly, they're not prepared politically to step into that fray.
Yeah.
So you withhold your vote. You withhold your vote.
Yeah.
The leverage you gain by voting, if you're black in America, is not with a list of demands. It's about who's going to respond to pressure and how are they going to respond, right? Like when the Freedom Riders did their thing, the Kennedys wanted them to stop because it was making them look bad, and they were trying to negotiate with the Russians and making them look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King came and told them to stop because he had some shit going with the Kennedys. And they were like, fuck all y'all, we're still doing this. And they got shit done. If Nixon is in office, that doesn't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
They still ride and everything, but nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not voting for people who are going to be there doing what you want them to do. You're voting for more social and political space to do the work you need to do to move things forward.
Mm.
You know?
Big distinction.
There's a big distinction.
Yeah.
And I think almost any oppressed group in America should view politics that way.
Mm-hmm.
It was not set up for you, and it is not for you now. You're not going to get the kind of representation that you're promised. But you can get space. And with more space, you can do more work.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to me.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody watches Malcolm X. Watch the fucking movie again, man, if you need a reminder. It's the famous speech. You know, before there was this or this, before there was this or this, you know, before there's any such thing as Democrat or Republican, we were black, you know. Blackness and all this shit, they're not, they were not built to with each other in mind.
Right.
This is insane. I do like how we call him Uncle Joe, though. It makes me, it gives me pleasure because in part of the American propaganda machine in the 40s,
mm-hmm.
that's what we call Joe Stalin. So,
oops.
It just cracks me up that people go around saying that.
I am like, I don't think I've ever said that until today.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard it before.
I mean, I've heard it, but yeah. I've never said it myself. That's...
It just makes me chuckle. It's just a funny thing.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
But you said the thing about him saying this that I was thinking too.
What's that?
I saw you comment online about it.
What did I say?
Basically, like, he's your friend that got too comfortable. And
oh, yeah.
Thought you could use the N-word.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I don't think I want to go to the cookout. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, y'all just let anybody in this motherfucking, man. Like, the bar is so fucking low.
Yeah, exactly. How good can the food be if you're letting these people come?
I'm telling you, man. Something's wrong. Something's wrong to cook out.
I agree. That's my Joe rant. I mean, it doesn't really have much to do with what he said, except it kind of it does, you know? I don't know.
I guess I am only slightly alarmed at the number of black people who are like, well, what he said is true. And I'm like, okay, let's not do that.
Calm down.
Yeah, let's not say that.
Yeah.
Okay, if you want to say, well, statistics suggest or some other shit that makes sense, but don't just be like, what he said is true. That's lazy and dangerous.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you know, come on.
Calm down. You're going to vote for him. And you don't want it to be complicated. That's what that means.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay.
I had posted online today, just like that one line. I had just said, a criticism is not a vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty tired of everybody at this point who cannot see a criticism as an anti. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, look, if the motherfucker said something, I'm not talking about Joe Biden saying what he said about black people because I want to sway your vote.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
At the point that he's the only candidate, I already know how you're going to vote. I know how you're going to vote. Yeah. End of discussion.
Right.
All I'm doing is waiting until November to see who's going to be crying. Right?
Right.
So
right.
I'm saying that because anti-blackness needs to be checked.
Yes.
You know, as frequently as it happens.
Yes.
And, you know, so, I mean, if you think that that's somehow, if you think my Facebook post or anybody's Facebook post at this point is going to sway votes, they could have the election tomorrow. I would venture to say that the results would be the same as it would in November.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
Where's the mystery?
Anybody who's actually legitimately on the fence still and is going to be on the fence the day before the election needs an evaluation.
Yeah, I don't believe those people exist.
I mean, if you can find a person like that, they need to be studied.
I think if you find a person like that, you need to put them on a polygraph test and show them for the liar that they are.
Put them on Maury.
They're a liar.
Yeah.
They're a liar. You know how you're going to vote, or you know you're not going to vote.
Yeah.
That's anything else is just a waste of fucking energy.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears here for a second. Mm-hmm. I guess we should talk about the elephant in the room, which should always be at 6 feet distance.
As we are.
As we are, yes. And that is the COVID-19 situation, which everybody in the world is dealing with right now.
Yeah.
And at this point on the calendar, I don't even know what our standards are at this point are based on what I'm seeing. Based on what I'm seeing, everything is pretty much fair game. And it's just a question of if the store you go to demands you wear a mask or not.
Yeah.
But short of that, it doesn't really seem like anything is happening now, for the most part. For the most part.
It's a libertarian paradise.
I just want to sample you saying that and put it on Ron Swanson's face. This is perfect.
It's true, though, man.
Yeah.
That's basically what we have. Figure it out.
We just gave up.
Yeah, like, this was too hard. We're done. Yeah.
Exactly, man. It was like, this isn't for me. And it's funny because it's like the real fundamental shit is still underwater, right? School is still underwater. Now, granted, it's summer now, or about to be.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't go to school, dude. You can't go to school. And the standards that I've seen to let you go back to school are unrealistic. So what are we talking about here? You can't do what the standards are, and they know that. I don't know why those standards exist except to say that they did something.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't have the resources to go the other way either, right? You don't have the resources to give every kid a tablet or a laptop. I mean, technically you do, but you don't because you don't have the will, so you don't have the resources.
Exactly.
So what do you...
What's really happening?
Right. Is this a survival of the fittest scenario as well?
Mm-hmm.
That's... Okay, there it is. It's like if your kid can't survive under this untenable system, we have prison waiting for you. Because you sure ain't got no job. You ain't even got a shit job now.
Yep.
Right? Damn, what is it? 15% of the country, 20% of the country unemployed, some shit like that?
Yeah.
I mean, you
know. Unemployment's finally where Trump said it was during the Obama administration.
We're great again. Yeah, so you can't go back to school. You can't work. I mean, what's next, you know? What's the next move here?
And this is the thing for me, is it really trips me out how, you know, there are countries that aren't in this situation anymore. So the first thing to me is how it somehow becomes taboo. I don't know. For some reason, politically, we're not going to talk about how we could have been in good shape by now. If you don't believe that the United States of America has the capacity to test and trace and isolate people back in February or March, if you don't believe we had that capacity, you need to talk to people who were political dissenters of the system. You know, talk to all the local leaders of Black Lives Matters chapters. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we easily have that capacity. But, you know, they wanted to approach it like a marketing, from a marketing standpoint, you know, where we're just going to say it's not there and hope it doesn't get here and it's all positivity, you know. And then it blew up in their face. And now we've let that funnel us into this situation where we're talking about, well, things have to get back to normal at some point. Oh, but public health. We, first of all, we wouldn't have to be making these kind of choices if shit had been handled. I don't think it's we should expect these people to handle anything. But that doesn't mean that statement's not true.
Right.
You know? Right. And the other thing that trips me out is how instead of this, like, really raising our awareness of the fact that we need a social safety net, it's having everybody pick a side between public health and status quo.
Right.
You know, it's like, I lost my job because of the coronavirus. I'm going to get a gun and go make them let me in without a mask or whatever. And it's like, that's not the direction your anger should take. Like, you need to say, this is the richest country on the planet. If I lose my job because of a national catastrophe, I should be okay. That's not even occurring to people.
Right.
On, like, either side of the argument. I'm like, what the fuck are you even talking about?
Right. How different do you think it would have been under a different president? Would it have been substantially different?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
How so? I mean, aside from some pretty glaring, obvious examples, but...
If you don't, you mean like, so if you don't dismantle the whole pandemic response team that is within the executive branch?
No, I think that's fair game. Okay.
So if you have a pandemic response team within the executive branch, which you built as a response to your intelligence briefings, that this was an actual vulnerability to our system.
Yeah.
Because those people all know we don't have a social safety net.
Right.
So this is a threat to our system. So if you keep the pandemic response team, and then when you find out this is coming, you start building tests, you know, you could have built 200 million tests in this country in 6 weeks. It really honestly wouldn't have been that hard. That's all you had to do. Build a whole bunch of tests, and then instead of this stimulus bill that's playing catch up, you pass one that says, if people, you know, keep you on the books, but don't have you into work, we'll subsidize the employer and we'll subsidize you. You get 3/4 pay. They get half of what they were making, like enough to keep everybody afloat. Landlords get a certain amount, percentage of this to keep them afloat. You know, you could have done all that for $1 trillion or half that, really.
Yeah.
And then all you have to do is be really aggressive about the testing and the social tracing and the social isolation. You know, if Nigeria could keep Ebola out of Nigeria with their resources, we could have kept this out, or at least we could have kept it from becoming wildfire.
Right.
I mean, not easily, but plainly. It wouldn't have taken, like, a genius to do it. There's no secret formula to it. And it would have been cheaper, and we'd be done by now. You don't think? Am I being too...
No, I agree.
Patriotic?
Yeah, no, I don't disagree at all. I guess I'm just considering how people not going to work shut the system down. like completely, right?
Yeah.
But clearly you can make money when you need to make money as a government.
Yeah.
Right? You have the resources to balance that. Clearly.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're just pulling money out of thin air at this point, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, and at the point that you're willing to give what money that you're doling out to people who don't technically need it.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, all of that is like this naked exposure of the system, you know? It's like so raw and plain.
Yeah.
And people are out here like, but my job, like, this is the time when you should be turning to your government and being like, what the fuck are you doing? Like every day of my life, what have
every
you been doing?
Every day.
Yeah. And
what are we keeping you around for? If it's just going to be anarchy anyway.
Right.
Why the fuck do we have a government?
Yeah, so it's a trip, man. It's a trip. Like the whole not being able to just work thing has been a real eye opener. You know, it's like institutions and organizations and businesses are having to contend with relevance, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, you've been closed for like a month or 2 months or whatever. Did we really ever need that? Or did we ever need that much of that? Or did we ever need your version of that? You know?
Yeah. And also, it really, to me, also puts a big stake in the heart of this whole mythology around achievement that we have in this country.
Mm.
Like this idea that people are running these companies because they're somehow good at it. You know?
Right.
If you're running a multi-billion company, and you're running it so hot that in two weeks of people not buying your stuff, you're done.
Yeah.
You're not smart.
No.
I don't give a fuck what any economist tells me. You're a stupid person. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're not a planner. That's for goddamn sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I get laid off from my job and next month I'm worried about how we're going to pay the mortgage, I'm not a planner. No one's going to dispute that if they saw my books. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These motherfuckers are not smart. I'm sorry, man. They're greedy as fuck.
Absolutely.
And they're part of this whole like cult, this religion of greed that's like all about today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much can we squeeze out of this today? And there's no sense of responsibility to their own shit. I'm not talking about social responsibility.
Right.
Not even the responsibility to keep their own shit going.
Right, right.
Look, crash and burn, motherfucker. I don't give a fuck about you. How I was raised, that looks like some shit you got yourself into.
Yeah.
And that's on you.
Yeah.
100%. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the great capitalist dream? Just out there risking it all. You're on the frontier, living and dying by your wits. Isn't that what you said you were doing?
Yeah.
All right, then.
Mm-hmm. I am really shocked at the number of like businesses that have just been like, yeah, we can't survive. And I'm like, but you have so much shit. And it's, I guess, because they have so much shit. You know, it's like...
And that's what happens when you just chase the shareholders all day.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... If you're a pure capitalist, I'm going to hold you to your own standard.
Right.
I don't give a shit.
Right.
Peace out. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Die. Die on the vine. Like wither and shrivel and starve.
Right.
I will not care. It's tripping me out, all the people to have the balls to be crying right now.
Hmm.
Like I saw an article about these Airbnb flippers.
Oh, that article.
And I'm like, I didn't even read it. Because I was like, I saw the lady on the cover. I was like, fuck y'all.
That was fascinating. I'm going to tell you something. I read that shit. Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, there would be somebody who's like, yeah, I have like... dozens of properties.
Yeah.
Right. Which, you know, Airbnb is quick to tell you is the minority of owners or whatever.
Right.
Whatever. But that's not who the story was talking to, so fuck them. So, yeah. You know, I have multiple properties, dozens in some cases, dozens of properties, whatever. And man, now I don't have enough money to like...
pay mortgage on any of them.
Right. I'm like, what the fuck? What? As much money as you was pulling down? Are you kidding me? And of course, it's just, you know, they used all of that money to create a lifestyle or create a standard of living or whatever.
Or to buy more properties.
Yeah, to keep flipping,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just your fucking greed, man.
Yeah.
Your greed, the fucking chicken came home to roost on your ass, man.
Exactly.
Right. And I thought it was
and
funny.
And like, I'm supposed to care.
Right, right. Well, you know what was funny about that article was like, they're not, as I recall, it didn't really talk at all about how predatory those owners are.
Yeah.
Right. It was just like, well, even, you know, these guys are kind of having a rough go of it. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, you talking about the same people who fucking destroyed New Orleans? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, fuck these motherfuckers, man.
Yeah.
You know, fuck them.
Right.
The reason why you can't buy a house in D.C. now?
Because of these people.
You know, Los Angeles changing by the fucking hour.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here. Fuck them, man.
I thought that was called a market correction, if I'm not mistaken. You know?
Right.
Yeah. See ya.
Right.
You know? Like, and these are the same people that, you know, 2 years ago would have been bragging about how they're geniuses.
We're doing TV shows about these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Like, hey, man, you all about you.
Mm-hmm.
So continue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I have your way out of this one?
Mm-hmm.
That just, it's driving me crazy, especially compared to all of the actual unearned suffering that's taking place right now.
Mm.
There's people that are just, there's whole communities that are suffering on mass scales that are never going to be even counted.
Yeah.
And we have articles about these people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I find that offensive. You know what I mean? Take your AP affiliate in Joburg and send them to a township and see what's going on.
Mm.
If you want to write an article about what's going on, you know, no, we're going to hear an article about these people that are losing their Airbnb properties. If you have 12 houses to lose, you ain't got no fucking problems. Even after you lose them.
Yeah.
You ain't got no real problems.
Mm.
Not if we're on a curve. Not if we're grading on a curve.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I just don't even want to hear it.
Nah, yeah. Nah, that article would have really pissed you off. By the
I could tell.
Yeah, it was a mess.
It's like Lord of the Flies shit, man.
Which, as it turns out, is not entirely empirically true.
Well.
Did you see that shit?
About the Tongan kids?
Yeah.
Okay, so Lord of the Flies is still true for the people it's about.
Exactly, it's the European model.
Yes, and we're witnessing it right here, man. You know?
Yeah.
There's other models available that if we had just maybe a little slice of them in our system, a little slice. We love to co-opt everything, right? If we had just co-opt a little bit of any number of indigenous models... we'd be okay right now. And the person that borrowed it and implemented it in our system could even say they invented it. And they'd probably get away with it. And everybody would be putting their ass on money right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But nah, man. No vision. That article didn't make you mad when you read it? You're just fascinated?
No, I was pretty not happy. Yeah, no, I guess I wasn't offended by its existence. Because it was basically kicking them in the nuts. It was basically exposing, you know, just the hubris and the fucking naked greed of it all, you know?
Gotcha.
And while it didn't, you know, of course, mention anything, like I said, about how they infest communities and destroy fucking communities.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a given. So.
But still had like a that's what you get tone about it.
I don't know. I wouldn't go that far, but it definitely focused on their problems, which gotcha. I appreciated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. I mean, I got a bunch of kids in the house, so I'm pretty much always mad right now anyway. So that I don't need the articles on top of it. I'm already close to blowing at any time.
If these windows didn't cost so much to replace,
no doubt
I'd be throwing y'all out,
knocking them out. Yeah, apparently I even like did a whole. Hopefully, this is the first thing I've done this where you have a parent that like totally goes off about some shit, but it's not accurate,
mm-hmm.
and the kids are all too scared to tell them.
What did you do?
So, you know, I don't go to the store as much now. So when I go, I stock up more.
Yes.
So I got two big ass things of granola bars.
Hmm.
So I didn't pack the pantry. So one of them was up top. One of them was at the bottom. And the old one that was almost done got moved to the counter and just left open. So I didn't see the one at the bottom.
Hmm.
So it was like 2 days. It was like a week later. I look up and see the one at the top. And I see this one in the pantry open with like two left. I'm like, what the fuck? Y'all went through 62 granola bars in a week? And I went 100% off, you know? Because I'm like, for one thing, I'm pissed off because I'm trying to like spread shit out, you know? And for another thing, I'm like, am I raising spoiled ass kids? I don't want to do that. You know? Like, I'm just losing my mind. And they're all just looking at me.
Yeah.
And they all knew they hadn't ate 62 granola bars in a week. Like, but they didn't want to tell me. I was too mad.
What is happening right now?
I was doing math and this shit. I'm like, it's been 6 days. 62 granola bars. I was like, averaging shit out.
Back and to the left. Yeah. Back and to the left.
It was great.
Oh man.
Yeah, and then like 2 days later I saw the other pack. And I was like, oh.
Did you say anything?
Uh-huh, yeah, I
saw. Oh, you see, that's good.
I was like, oh, y'all didn't eat all those granola bars. You should have heard all the groans. Oh,
yeah, no, we didn't.
If I was them, I would have like grabbed the new and put it on the counter so you could see the whole box. Just
set it out.
Yeah, just like
just leave it out.
Hey, Dad. Before you go killing anybody in their sleep over granola.
It was pretty funny, man. It's pretty funny.
Oh shit.
So that's just for context, so you can understand why I'm mad at articles.
No, yeah, I get it. Yeah, no, I gotcha.
That's probably how Fauci feels right now.
Oh my god,
he's the bad guy.
That dude. I mean, I want to feel sorry for him. I really do. But then he's a government official on some level, so I'm predisposed not to ever give them the benefit of the doubt.
I don't feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for reality. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like, I haven't really been keeping up with him, which I think is kind of telling. Because for a while there, he was inescapable. And now it's like, I'm trying to remember the last time I saw him.
Yeah.
And it's like, did they assassinate Dr. Fauci? And you know what's happening, though?
Yeah.
Is that regionally in the state, the same thing is kind of happening.
Yep.
Right? They're still having the midday DeWine meetings, but Acton is kind of hit or miss.
Yeah.
You know?
Making cameos.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, in some measure, that is reasonable because as we begin to open things up, we begin to talk less about the problem.
Whether right? or not we should be opening.
Things. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to sell a campaign of let's get back on track when you've got this doctor standing there going,
oh,
by the way, you know, more people died yesterday than died all last week or whatever, you know.
Right,
so
right.
I get it, but you notice, you know, you notice.
Well, it proves that it was all political from the start. I mean, you can't expect politicians to not have a political motive.
Yeah, right.
And so just because they're doing the right thing in the moment you know, be glad for that, but just don't chill out before you start patting them on the back.
Right. Well, you know, there's a reason why out of all the governors that exist, only four of them got bobbleheads. You know what I'm saying? You know, he has a bobblehead.
Do
you
know?
Oh, okay. No, I don't. So no, some company made like four governor bobbleheads. This was like a month ago.
Okay.
Okay. So everybody was in their crib, scared.
Yeah.
Nothing was opening yet.
Uh-huh.
Everybody was shut down.
Okay.
And some company was like, look, here are four governors, Cuomo, DeWine, you know, who are the two? And they're just like, here's a bobblehead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a toy because of his awesome work on the response.
Yeah, I mean, he did a good job.
For a good month or so. Yeah,
for
yeah.
a couple months. He did a good job.
Yeah.
And he was a good example of something I think Americans disregard in general elections. They think about it in local elections, but not in general, which is that there's an actual job aspect to this job, too.
Mm.
Like, administrative skills come in handy when you have the chief administrative position in the country.
Right, right, right.
There's a reality to that. Like, I don't like him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But turns out, like, all that practice in repressing black votes... got him ready to repress a virus. He knows how to repress shit. You know what I mean? In this instance, it's coming in handy.
Well, you know, it's a trip because, like, whenever I see, like, somebody's governor or somebody's mayor, like, with a headline, and they're like, this person's doing a really great job on this.
Uh-huh.
I always, like, reach out to somebody from there and, like, okay, how is this person generally perceived, right?
Right.
Why is this the first time I'm hearing about this person, or why am I hearing about them now?
Uh-huh.
And I was really doing that a lot, like when like the mayor of New Orleans.
Yeah.
And she was like standing up like, we can't reopen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, New Orleans folks, is she legit? Or, because my impression is that whoever the mayor of New Orleans is trash.
Yeah.
So is she trash or is she not trash?
Yeah.
I got to check. You got to check, man. You got to follow up on these things. Otherwise, you'd be buying bobbleheads and shit, and you'd be throwing them away 2 weeks later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Waste your bobblehead money.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the interview with the mayor of Vegas with Cooper or with Anderson?
Yeah, I did. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember exactly what the beef was.
Yo, man, that
but I remember she was, like, really off the rails, though.
That shit rocked me.
What did she say?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I mean, like, I watched it, and I couldn't have told you at the time what she was saying. I know that when he asked her, finally, if she would be out on the floor when the casinos open, she said, well, I have a family.
Oh, she wanted to open Vegas as a control group.
Control group, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But the interview itself was I didn't think my estimation of humanity could get lower.
Uh-huh.
But it did in that interview.
Mm.
I was like, you can't convince me that this person is like a real person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was crazy. I feel like there's a lot of stuff getting exposed, but everybody's too busy kind of circling the wagons to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a precarious situation.
Yeah.
And I can't blame people for focusing inward at a time like this.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny because the fallout from her interview was, of course, that a professional poker player decided he wanted to start a recall effort. So
a recall effort?
A recall effort. Want to get her fired.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so... he had 90 days to submit a petition signed by 25% of the voters from the 2019 election.
Okay.
And I don't know, you know, about 6,700 people, give or take. But I don't know where that story is now. But yeah.
I didn't know that.
You know it's bad when the gambler don't want to gamble. Of course, he's probably got some money saved up.
He's doing
as right. You should.
Yes. The gambler has more money saved up than, you know, United Airlines.
The airlines? What the hell, man? I'm like, as much as y'all shit costs, y'all charge for every fuck thing you can.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that you can't sustain? What the fuck? Really? Fuck out of here, man. You're telling me you have no fat?
Right.
You have no fat, is what you're telling me. The library has fat, okay? Right. You're telling me you don't have fat?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here,
it's
man.
All in the bonus checks.
Oh, dude. Like, you ain't really never been cheap, ever.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I still ain't got paid back for a flight I canceled. And that shit was in, like, February.
That money, that's a donation.
Yeah.
Shit's gone.
Right? I'm like, can it be a credit? I'm willing to use it later. Just, you know, can I get a response? You mm-hmm. know?
Nope.
Yeah, exactly. No. Fuck you.
Yep.
Anyhow.
So you're just sitting peacefully at home through all this? You're not getting all angsty?
No, I'm not, actually, if I'm honest.
Because I know I am, which you noticed, mm-hmm. which is probably we should tell people. Normally we do a show when Scott, he monitors my Facebook activity. He probably has like a thermometer in his basement or something.
Can either confirm
when it's raising. When he puts mm-hmm. he has like a little picture of my face, and when it gets to a certain level, I'll get a message from me like, "So you want to do a show?"
But I really waited this time. I really waited because I knew you were bored too.
Yeah.
So you might be boiling, but you're also bored.
I'm also
so you have
bored.
More time.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, well. So I waited at least twice as long as I would normally wait to ask.
Which is why everyone's getting all this angst. Spilling out. You're the ultimate observer, I say.
You know.
Just sitting there watching. Just watching it burn.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm certainly not in the worst case scenario.
Oh.
Financially. You know, my business is stable. So I'm just like, just trying to figure out, you know, kind of what to do from day to day. You know, when I get plans, like if somebody tries to plan something for me, I get antsy. I get mad. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that shit.
Yeah.
Or if I say, yeah, and then the time comes to do the thing, I get real resentful.
Really?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm like,
Is this because of safety precautions, or is it because you just are...
No.
I finally get to stay at home and...
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's probably a combination of things, but it's certainly... You know what it is, in part? Okay, uh-huh. So I've gone much of my adult life wondering. Uh-huh. Wondering, why am I working? What am I working toward? Right? What does the end of the line look like? Because I'm not the person who's going to work forever.
Yeah.
Right? If retirement is in the cards for me, then I want that. Now, I don't really sit around planning it or anything, but I do kind of wonder what it would look like. And so it always looks like me just doing nothing. Sitting on the couch.
Just straight out of Office Space.
Sitting on the fucking... deck,
yeah.
Maybe PlayStation, maybe. Uh-huh. Maybe I'm writing, maybe I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, nothing. It really looks like nothing. Just kind of enjoying nothing.
Yeah.
And the coronavirus has dropped retirement into my lap. It says, you're not making what you used to make, but you can live. And now you don't have to be nowhere.
Yeah.
For the foreseeable future, right? Not 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
For the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
I don't know when I'm going back to work. I don't know when I'm reopening my business, you know? I don't know.
Right.
It ain't tomorrow. It ain't a week from now. It's not a week from now, you know?
It's nothing you can put on a calendar.
No, and right. I don't want it on my calendar yet.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Some other shit got to happen before I get that active.
Right.
I get mad with chores now. like I don't ever really want to do chores. Who does? But like, I'll be like, fuck dishes. You know what I'm saying? You know, all my neighbors' grass is cut. My grass is nappy. Uh-huh. I'm like, fuck that grass. Where you going?
Mm-hmm.
Who gonna see it? I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I get upset, man.
Oh,
visceral
man.
Reactions. Visceral, man. Hey, would you like to maybe do a Zoom online thing? Fuck no, I want to do that shit. I'm retired. I'm effectively retired. Kiss my black, lazy. Apparently, I'm lazy as fuck, Aaron. Apparently, that's the deal. Apparently, that is my default state. I thought that I was like when the shit started,
uh-huh.
I had all kinds of ideas.
Uh-huh.
Like ideas. Uh-huh. I was like, okay, I'm going to knock my novel out now. I have no excuse to not knock my novel out.
Right.
I ain't done shit.
Right.
I was like, all right, look, the novel, that's all right. That's always been my albatross. Let me switch gears. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll just do like this little book video series. Just little books around the house. I don't even need to go nowhere. Mm-hmm. I don't need to buy shit. Don't cost me nothing. I just do little videos about the books. I can't even keep that shit going. Damn. All right, you know, look, I'll play PlayStation. I'll do some fucking PlayStation. Can I play some PlayStation? I bought a new game.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get into this game. This whenever I turn on PlayStation, and I don't play like regular games, right? Uh-huh. I don't buy Madden.
I know.
Right? You know, I play shit.
You're above that.
No, I'm not above it. But I need to be clocked out of shit, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
When the PlayStation comes on, my brain goes off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just immersed. It is pure escapism for me. And so it can't even be some shit like a platformer or anything like a first-person shooter. That shit does not get it for me,
uh-huh.
You know? So I need it to be a world. I got to be able to go around it. I got to be able to do shit in it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a civilization game, like whenever you turn it on, it takes like 2 days to play.
Yeah.
Some shit like that.
Yeah.
Because now I got the time. Whenever will I have the time to do this without guilt?
Without guilt.
This is key.
Mm-hmm.
This is key. Because I'm lazy all the time.
Right.
But, you know, at some point, you got to turn the lazy off and get up and go do some shit.
Right.
Not now. Where the fuck I got to go?
Right.
Nowhere. What I got to do? Nowhere. I have never ordered so much food in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cook. I was cooking initially.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Fuck all that. Now, I will tell you, and this is the truth. I have been trying to perfect my omelet.
Okay.
Hey, can you make an omelet?
Not really. So, I'm not big on omelets.
Right. I don't like eat them like that. But as a disciple of Anthony Bourdain, right, he always maintained that the one thing, if anybody should know how to make, they should make an omelet.
Mm.
You shouldn't sleep with anybody that can't make an omelet.
Mm.
And so I was like, I need to get my omelet game together.
You know, the omelet game.
Yeah. And that's something working on my omelet game the last couple of weeks. But that's about it.
It's funny you bring up Anthony Bourdain.
Why is that?
I've been watching him a lot through this.
Okay.
And I find that, like, of all the voices out there, that's the only voice that I would want right now. It's a drag, but I've been watching a lot of Bourdain.
I am torn on that.
You're torn on that?
Yeah. Because if Anthony Bourdain had not killed himself,
mm-hmm.
at what, by all external appearances, looks like the height of a life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, he has everything.
Right.
He has money. He can go anywhere he wants. He can get a free meal anywhere that he wants.
Uh-huh.
He's recognizable everywhere. He's been around the world multiple times on other people's dimes, you know?
Uh-huh.
He hasn't had to, like, truck a bunch of kids with him and go to Disney World. He goes to, like, wherever the fuck he wants to go, you know? Oh, I think I would like to go to Syria. And he goes to Syria.
Yeah.
You know? And then the end, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, man, it's like, and I've processed that over and over. I've written about it a couple times. And I really can't grasp. I mean, you never know, but I still really can't grasp the matter of it all. I don't want to get too deep into, you know, what suicide or whatever, but I just personally have never been able to grasp his suicide well.
Yeah.
Other people's, like, I get. Robin Williams, I get. So on and so forth, uh-huh, I get. Uh-huh. His, I still struggle with. And so when you say, huh, now, like, I wonder what his voice would be. I'm almost scared to think about what he would say right now. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It would frighten me. I think he would say something just, I don't know.
It would be dark.
Definitely. Definitely. That's for sure. To put it mildly. Yeah, yeah.
The thing that this has got me thinking, and I don't know if this is even our show anymore at this point, but whatever. But like, when you're talking about being lazy.
Yes.
I had this thought this morning, right? People work. You're talking about retirement, right?
Mm-hmm.
People go to school. They're kids. You know, you got all the freedom of being a kid, young adult. Then you kind of like, traditionally, then you sort of buckle down, work for 40 years, 50 years, whatever. And then you retire.
Yeah.
And most people's retirement looks like basically opting out of society. And so you're going full in for society for decades so that one day you can live the dream of opting out of society for a decade.
Right.
That's so fucking backwards. That's why we're all tired all the time.
Huh.
That's why we feel guilt. It's all this bullshit. Like, this shit is broken. As constructed,
mm-hmm,
it is broken. It's not because of this virus. You know, mm-hmm, it's getting exposed, a lot of things.
Yeah.
But like, this ain't how nobody fucking wants to live. And you can tell by what their retirement looks like.
Right.
It's all bullshit, man.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it makes me sad when like black and brown people think that their road to autonomy is somehow based on buying into this shit harder.
Mm.
It's bullshit for the people that are in it. They don't even like it.
Right. And they get all the privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck you think it's going to do for you?
Right.
You know?
So are you making the case for us to have a bunch of little houses off the grid? Is this your bid?
First of all, I have always made that case. Yes!
Come on, Robinson Crusoe.
Yeah, that's...
Bring it home.
100% my case. Yes, all the time, forever. But...
Yes.
As a pragmatic person, I know not everybody's going to buy that.
Well, everybody's not going to make it across the finish line.
I do think people can look at this value system. Like, even if you have to participate in the system externally,
yeah,
you don't have to participate internally.
Mm, that's a good point.
And you can have the same value system that, if you're lucky, you saw the old people have when you were a kid.
Mm.
You know, who didn't have shit, but were somehow happier than you're ever going to be at any point in your whole fucking life.
Right.
So
right.
There's something to that. And I think our participation in all of this should just be with the end in mind of maximizing our own autonomy.
Mm, right.
That's it.
Yeah.
And once we pass that threshold, keep it, man. Keep it all.
Yeah.
It's like your horn player in Treme.
Mm.
When the dude asks him, are you just going to get high and eat barbecue and play your horn here, around here? And it sounds good to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, even without their recognition, what you're doing is real. Don't be looking like they got us out here chasing this fucking gold star they ain't never going to fucking give us.
Mm.
And even if they give it to us, they might fucking kill you in your driveway anyway.
Right.
So what are you chasing? Like, chill the fuck out. You know what I mean? That's, I don't know.
No, I mean, I feel you, man. It kind of reminds me, what you're saying reminds me of, oh, man, we going to go here? Okay. So it kind of reminds me of my dad, who I was not raised with.
Yeah.
Right? My mom and dad got divorced when I was one. And so I was raised by my mother exclusively through my entire life. But I knew my father, right? He was an hour away living in the hills of Nelsonville.
Okay.
Where, you know, where they came from.
Right.
Where my people come from, right?
Right.
And he went back there with his wife and they lived out in the woods. And he had a job and everything. He wasn't poor, right? Mm-hmm. Had a house, had a pool, you know, no other kids, right? So it's like, we chilling.
Yeah.
And he could have done so many other things that, you know, after the fact, he could have gone anywhere. He could have done his job arguably anywhere. But he was like, you know, nah, this is good enough. And so when I would go visit him out in the woods, right?
Yeah.
I would be like, man, this is pretty, this is nice. I mean, and it's not like a mansion or anything.
Right.
It's just like some straight, comfortable shit.
Yeah.
And he was like, you just got to kind of, without saying as much, he's basically living a life that says, what do you really need?
Right.
You know, what do you really need to be happy?
Right.
And I guess he just really drilled into that answer, like, all I really need is this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
And if I got that and I can maintain it for the next 30 years before I die, cool.
Right.
And that's what he did. Yeah. It's deep.
It is.
Because I need PlayStation. You know what I'm saying? I need things. And he didn't. So it's just a deep, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think there's something to that, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's funny, though, too. Like, when you, like, on Facebook, you'll see somebody post an article, and they'll be like, it'll be an article about, like, you know, some group of people or some whatever who have, like, created a little community. We all got, like, four of these small houses, and we all put them next to each other, and now me and my friends are going to grow old together.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everybody is just like, I want that so bad. And yeah. It's like, you know, that's like 50% cheaper than the way you're living now.
You can do it.
You could totally do that.
Yeah.
All you got to do is find a few more of your friends willing to live 50% cheaper than they live in.
Yeah.
Y'all could do this shit. And no one ever does this shit. No one you know ever does it. We all just like the article.
Yeah.
You know, we like the idea.
And I think if you're going to do that with a group of black people, you would need a little more. Because the day is always going to come where somebody's going to show up and say, I want that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's a little more clout to be sought after if you wanted to do that as a community. So I get that. And I think that's where this other approach came from. You know, it was, I think, instilled in a generation of people by a generation of people that had already been living that way. And then people said, I want that. And they just fucking took it. You know what I mean? So they don't want that to happen to their kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it. I'm not, you know, I don't want to speak like everybody has the privileges I have. But I mean, I still think value-wise, you know, don't seek this, man.
Yeah.
This ain't where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, they got it wrong. Just because they got all the muscle doesn't mean that they got something right.
That's what you call winter spoils.
I'm saying.
Well, I guess that's our show, man. Or maybe a couple of them.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, right? So I think that wraps up another show for us. It feels good to kind of be back in front of the mic, chopping it up with Aaron. I guess I'll just say, you know, hey, be safe out there, as safe as you can.
Be safe.
The times are not getting better, as we have already showcased. And yeah, I guess we'll catch you the next time we can't take the world any longer.
Right. The next boiling point.
Right. Won't let me chill, yet me still. I'm searching for the cooling it all. As if my lining is silver and my flow cold enough, then my tongue sticks to it.